Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For the first words declared, first words preached from the pulpit of this building, we're going to use 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 for a text, which says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. There's no other foundation. There is nothing else to stand on before God. If you want a strong building, if you want a building that will last, then you need a sure foundation. And there's only one. There is only one, Jesus Christ the Lord. Christ being the center's foundation, that is good news that is declared to us in the Word of God, which the Word calls the gospel. That's what the Word calls the gospel. If we want to know what the gospel is, it is the good news of Christ being the foundation of our hope. That's the good news. That is the gospel. Christ is the gospel. Don't you wish people knew that? People don't know that. People do not know. I didn't know that until God revealed it to me. Christ is the gospel. The sure foundation of Christ. He is the gospel. The law is not the gospel. The do's and the don'ts. Well, now you know you better do this. And you better not do that. That is not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Man's deeds, man's works, what man is going to do for God? What God needs man to do for him? That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel at all. That's not even the truth. That's a lie. God doesn't need man to do anything for him. God does not need man to do anything for him. God is God. And man is not God. So the message of what man must do, that most definitely is not the gospel. Christ is the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel. Who he is. What he has done. Who he did it for. What he accomplished in it, where he is right now because of it, that's the gospel, the declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, and that is the only gospel. That's the only gospel. There is only one. Other foundation can no man lay than the foundation that has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. No other foundation. No other gospel. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. What he's saying is, let's remove man from the equation right off the bat. Let's just get man out of it. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Verse 2, he said, this is from me and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Verse 3, he said, grace be to you and peace. Grace and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This foundation, this gospel, has something to do with grace and peace. The foundation of the gospel has everything to do with grace and peace. Free gift. Grace means free gift. And peace. Verse 3 says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 4. These are three of my favorite words. Who gave himself. Who gave himself. If we want to learn something about God's grace, this gift of God, if we want to learn something about God's peace, the grace that God gives and the peace that God gives, here it is right here. Verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us. Not try to deliver us. Not make deliverance possible for us. Not put the offer of deliverance out there on the table just in case some wretched sinner is willing to take him up on it. No, no. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Who is the world? Who is this present evil world? I'll give you the answer. I am the world in my flesh. We are the world. They got it right. We are the world. In our minds, if you want to know whether or not you are the world, get into your mind. Get into your mind. Everybody talks about sin and am I a sinner? Am I not a sinner? Just go into your mind. Go into your heart. Think about what comes out of this mouth. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Think about our actions. We had to be delivered from ourselves. What did we have to be delivered from? Ourselves. Ourselves. Our sinful selves. That's what I need to be delivered from. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death right here? Deliver me from me. Please deliver me from me. The only hope that we who are in this world and are this world have is in the fact that he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Now, whose will was it? Was it man's will for this to happen? This was all done according to the will of God and our Father. Verse 5 says, to whom be glory. Who gets the glory? To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, now watch this. Watch this right here. Verse 6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. This glorious gift God gave Christ to do this for his people. And he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7 says, which is not another. There is not another gospel. The grace of Christ is the only good news that there is. He's the only good news that there is. There is not another. Just hold your place right here and turn back about two pages. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 1. Paul said, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What he's saying is, I want you to know the truth. That's what he's saying. Just bear with me in my insufficiency. I just want you to know the truth. He said, verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And I want us to recognize that. Recognize the danger of subtlety. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity. That means the singularity. The one focus that is in Christ. In Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus. And I'll tell you, other Jesuses are being preached all over the world today. They're being preached all over town today. And my heart breaks for those who listen to the other Jesus, who is not the Lord Jesus Christ of Scripture. God manifest in the flesh, only mediator between God and man. God Almighty. I feel so sorry. Other Jesus. We need to make sure that we are hearing and bowing to and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, he said, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, meaning the prophets and the apostles. Or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. He said, if a man brings any other foundation to you than the foundation of Christ alone, if it's not Christ alone, that word alone is just as important. It must be Christ alone. It has to be Christ alone. He said, you're going to be led to a foundation that is no foundation at all. None whatsoever. Look back at Galatians 1 with me. Verse 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel is all about Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What he's saying is, get man out of it. That's what he's saying. If you add man to the foundation of Christ alone, you add man to that foundation, you'll ruin it. You'll ruin it. Now, in 1756, the year 1756, man really put his hand to it and invented modern day concrete. You know what modern day concrete does? Go out and look at all that concrete we just had poured out there. You know what modern day concrete does? It cracks. Ask a concrete contractor, if you pour that for me, you're going to make it so it won't crack, right? Everyone will tell you, concrete cracks. I cannot ensure that it's not going to crack. Over time, it crumbles. It won't last. It will not truly last. Last longer than some other substances we have. But it won't truly last. Do you know what the only foundation material on this earth is that will truly last? I mean through the ages, through the test of time. You know what that is? Our Lord told us what it was in a parable. Turn with me over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24, our Lord said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." What were his sayings? What did he say here in chapter 7? He said a bunch of things, and you read it sometime. You can read what he said, but I'll just give you the cliff notes to it here. This is what he said. Bow to the judgment of God alone. Fear God alone. Cry out to Him for mercy. Seek Christ alone. Beware of false prophets. And don't go stand before the judgment throne of God pleading your own works. That's what he said. All right, now verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, a God-made foundation. Not a man-made foundation. A God-made foundation. David said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I love the logo for that insurance company. I forget which one it is, but they have the Rock of Gibraltar. You've seen that rock? Well, you know, they got a little outline of it. If you go on the internet and look at the actual picture, the rock looks like this. And the little bitty town below it with all of its buildings looks like this. That rock is huge. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He said continuously, "The Lord is my rock." He's my rock. The Apostle Paul said, "That rock is Christ." On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, I'm telling you, all other ground is sinking sand. Our Lord said that right here in verse 26. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. If it is not the solid rock, and what that means is all rock. Pure rock. Only rock. Rock alone. It may look like rock. It may be real close to rock. But if it's not pure rock, it's not going to stand. A few years ago, we dug a trench in my front yard. I needed a new water line. Got a ditch witch. Dug a trench through my front yard. My yard is full of shale. I didn't have any experience with shale before. I didn't know the word. I should have. I guess it's everywhere. But I just didn't. And to me, it looked like big rocks were coming out of the ground. And at that time, I wanted to build a little retainer wall. So I got those rocks and made a pile out of these big rocks. I was going to set them to the side. And I didn't get right to building the wall. So they sat there a little while. And the rain descended. And it didn't take long at all. And if you have any experience with shale, it started crumbling. It just started. It's a sediment. It's just sediment compacted together. And it started crumbling. And I realized immediately, don't use shale to build a retainer wall with. All right, well, I finally did get around to building the retainer wall. And my house already had nice, big stones in the yard in different places, and I gathered those stones up and I built the wall. But down almost at the bottom, in the center of the wall, a piece of shale snuck in on me. It looked like a rock to me. I really thought, and I put it on the bottom because it was big. It was a big rock. And the rain descended, and it started to crumble. And my wall started to sag, started to sink. And I had to take that center portion of the wall out, take all those stones out, and I had to get that shale out of there. As long as that shale was in there, my wall was not going to stand. That shale represents the lie of false religion. That's what it is. It represents the lie that says something else can be your foundation. It's okay. You can have something other than the rock as your foundation. It may look right at first. When I put it in, everything looked good. Everything looked straight. It may look right at first. But if it's not Christ alone, it's not going to stand. It's just not going to stand. If it is not the solid rock alone, it's not going to stand. To add anything to Him, or to take anything from Him, it will not stand before the judgment throne of God on that day. On that day, it will not stand. Now, what is it to stand on Christ alone? If we have to, what is it to stand on Christ alone? What does that mean? And I'll go ahead and tell you, we're going to continue this and we're going to expound on this even more in the message here in just a minute. This is going to be a continuation. But I pray the Lord will truly reveal to us what all of this means concerning our salvation. The only hope we have of actually standing before the holy and just judge of the earth. That's what we have to understand. We're going to go meet a holy. What does holy mean? It means he has to do what's right concerning this sinner. Based on what the law says, sinners are owed. He's holy. He doesn't have a choice. He has to do what's right. He is just. What does that mean? That means he's going to do what's right. He has the power to do what's right. May the Lord begin honestly revealing to all of us right now, what is it to stand on Christ alone? To be able to stand in the day of judgment. The hymn writer explained it very well. What is it to stand on Christ alone? Edward Mote, this man explained it very well. He said, "My hope is built on nothing less, nothing more, nothing less than Jesus' blood, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood, and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, those flattering enticements of man's words, men standing up there just telling everything you're doing for God and just how thankful God is to have you." And he said, "I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I wholly, completely lean on the Lord Jesus Christ's name." What's his name? Savior. Call his name Jesus, for he might save his people. Not what he said. He's going to. That's what you go meet God with. Christ is going to. He's going to. He shall save his people. Edward Mote said, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." What is it to stand on Christ alone? It is to cling to and to trust in and to find all of our hope of being forgiven for all of the sin we've committed against God. There's no point in lying about it or trying to hide it. I have committed so much sin against God. I'm a sinner against God. That's what I am. And the only hope that we have is being covered in the blood that Jesus Christ shed to put away our sin, to pay the debt of our sin. And with that, standing on Christ is to cling to and to trust in for all of our acceptance, all of our favor. If he's going to say, "I'm well pleased with you, come on in," it's to hold to the righteousness. That means the goodness, the good deeds, the perfection, the obedience, the holiness. How obedient do you have to be to get into heaven? You can't break one law. How holy do you have to be to stand in the presence of God? You got to be as holy as God is. It's to cling to that holiness and that obedience and that perfection and that goodness, that righteousness of Christ alone. Christ alone, not my righteousness. His alone. Somebody asked a man a long time ago, his name was John Jasper. They said, "John, if you died and found yourself standing at the gates of heaven, and the question was asked to you, what right do you have to come in here? What would you say?" John Jasper said, "I would say, I'm not here on my right. I'm here on the right of another. My Lord, my Savior, my God, my King, Jesus Christ. I plead Him alone. That's what it is to stand on the foundation of Christ alone. Standing on Him alone. Now, Lord willing, we're going to continue this theme in just a moment. All right, we're going to pick up where we left off. And what we're going to look at is the house that is built on that foundation. That's the foundation. Then we're going to look at the house that is built on that foundation. All right, you're dismissed.